Thank you so much, Pastor Aaron. I am so pregnant with the word of the Lord for this morning. I want to welcome everyone joining us online. If you're a first-time guest of Elevation Church or you've been with us since the very beginning, here's what we're agreeing for on Resurrection Sunday. Today is a life-altering, Jesus-honoring message that is going to bring hope into every situation of your life and advance His glory throughout the earth. I am excited about telling the story of Jesus and what he did. It's true, all of it. His life, his love, his passion for people, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the life, the love, the legacy. It was 100% true back then, and it's 100% true right now. Everything that was accomplished at the cross, we all know about Friday, and Jesus paying the price for the sins of the world. But I'm excited because we are awakening to our authentic identity in Christ, and the world is getting a revelation that sin and sin consciousness is no longer the lead story. It is fake news. Jesus dealt with that at the cross. We are saints in him. I've been banging that drum for year after year after year, but would y'all agree with me online all together now? It was true back then, and it's true right now. What was valid 2,000 years ago is valid right now. Over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we have brought message after message of hope. I've said it many times. I'm a hope dealer, and I traffic in dealing hope. So if you come with hopelessness, understand this really clear, that hopelessness about a situation is a bigger problem than the problem itself. And so if you can get a revelation that he's not hopeless about it, that means you and I don't have to be hopeless about it. So when COVID hit, here was our response. When COVID hit the world and the world is all shaking, we came 3 weeks ago with a message and we told you that in Christ we're unshakable, that his peace in his world trumps anything that happens in this world. We can walk fearless in the midst of any contradiction. The next week we told you about a divine reset. This is not a setback. Let me look into this camera. Say all together with me, this is not a setback. We are getting set up for a major move of God that's gonna affect the course of human history. So what is happening right now will change our options forever. And then last week on Palm Sunday, we hit you with a now word and we said, no opportunity wasted. This is a now moment. We have extraordinary opportunities. We're not bored, we're not tired, we're not depressed. We are on mission, on message to say that Jesus is doing what he wants to do. And the increase of his government, his peace, and his initiatives are advancing regardless of what we see here, because what he sees trumps what we see. And we're bringing his reality into the now. And so we said last week, today is the day of your salvation. And faith pulls in the revelation of who he is. So by faith, I see what he says, my heart burns for it, and I bring it into the now. I am believing with you for signs, wonders, miracles, creative miracles, and a massive amount of people coming to Christ in unconventional ways on this very day. I'm asking the Lord for millions upon millions of people to say yes to the real resurrected Christ today through every church on the planet who is on mission to bring his world to this one. That is what I'm believing today. So today is the day. And if you don't know Christ, today is your day. If you do know Christ, today is your day. Now I'm going to preach. That was just the prelude. That was the hors d'oeuvre. Today, I want to preach a message called Then and Now. Then and Now. And what I want to do, I've never done this quite like this. I'm literally going to read the resurrection accounts, the post-resurrection accounts of Jesus appearing to his disciples and friends right after he's resurrected. And what I've never done before is I've literally taken the four gospel accounts and I brought it into a story. So I want you to, at home, online, picture with your milk and cookies or whatever, in your jammies, a little jealous. Envision me reading you a story, and I want you to picture yourself in the story as I begin to read it to you. So I'm pulling from four different gospel accounts. The addresses and the location of the scriptures will be provided, but I'm gonna read it to you as a story, and I'm hoping that by the end of this message, some of these experiences will become yours right now, because what was good back then is equally valid right now. So here we go. Let's read it. Now, after the Sabbath, this was post-resurrection Jesus. After the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. Interesting. The angel said to the woman, "Hey, don't be afraid. I know what you're looking for. I know who you're looking for. Jesus. He's been crucified, but he's not here. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying." Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary, as we mentioned, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there, and it was Jesus. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her, "And who are you looking for? Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, if you've taken him away, tell me where you put him, and I'll go and get him." She turned to him, and she cried out after she heard the words, and he said, "Mary, Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him, cried out, "Rabbi." She knew it was her master. It was an intimate word. She went and responded. She reported to those who had been with him, and while they were mourning and weeping, she enters, and they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her. They refused to believe it. The story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them, two of the disciples, while they were walking along on their way to the country, road to Emmaus. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approaches again and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Then their eyes suddenly were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanishes from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning when he was with us and while he was speaking to us, and he opened up the scriptures, explaining them to us?" And they got up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, found gathered together the 11 disciples and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really, really, really risen. He's really risen. He's risen. And he's appeared to Simon." And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. They went away and they reported it to the others, but they didn't believe him either. Afterward, he appeared, Jesus, to the 11. And as they were reclining at the table, he reproached them for their unbelief, hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had been with him and seen him after he had risen. That last scripture tells an interesting story, but I don't want us to focus on that portion of the scripture. What I really want you to get pregnant with is this thought. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he accomplished back then, how he dealt with his family, his friends, fully God and fully man, how he dealt with them is equally valid today as it was yesterday and forever. In Christ, he is always dealing with our upgrades. He is always chiseling away at refining our focus and making us more and more like Jesus. So I want you to understand that Jesus is not a harsh taskmaster. He is, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. And so I want you to capture a revelation of grace today so profound that will alter the way you see. Because that was one of the problems. They couldn't see him for who he was. So point number one, I want you to capture this. Point number one is they didn't, actually, you know what? I'm gonna hold that thought. I wanna hold that thought. I felt like the Lord just interrupted me. And he said, no, go back to this. So welcome to Elevation Church. Sometimes we get divine downloads that changes where I'm headed. So I'll come back to that. But I want you to understand their perspective needed to see as he sees. So here's the first point. It says that an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. He has risen, the angel said, come and see. That's where I want to go. Here's the statement I want to make on that. God sits enthroned. Jesus sits enthroned on the obstacle that's blocking your opportunity. He sits enthroned and he rolls away the stones and he breaks all of the barriers that keep you from distance and separation from him and your breakthrough. Let that sit. God sits enthroned on top of the rock of your barrier to your breakthrough. He's enthroned upon that. He sits enthroned. In fact, he is saying to us right now, the stone wasn't moved away so Jesus could come out. Heck no. The stone was moved so that Mary could come in. The invitation is there. Come in and see. Come in and see that there is no condemnation in Christ. Come in and see that there is no distance and separation. Come in and see that there's an encounter waiting for you. Come in and see that the barriers of shame and condemnation and guilt, that's all been dealt with at the cross because I am alive. Don't you see, Mary? Mary had a problem on Friday. Her hopes, her dreams, her thoughts about who Jesus was were crushed on Friday. And Saturday, nothing happened. But oh, there's Sunday. Sunday is here. And Sunday, the place of my disappointment, the place where the barrier and the stone kept me distant from him. Today is Sunday and it's been rolled away. And I'm engaging the living Christ in this profound way. And so what was once dead is now alive. When that dream was dead on Friday, it's Resurrection Sunday today, because today is the day you see different. What about you? Where are the barriers for you? Where's the place of death that has affected you? What is entombed in your past disappointments? Maybe it's, we say, Ryan, I'm single. I'm in quarantine and my social life is dead. My academics are dead. I'm a teenager right now. Don't you understand? Yeah, you don't understand. I'm in quarantine right now. My academics are dead. My graduation day, I was gonna spend all that time with my friends. I'm a college senior. That's dead. This whole COVID virus has taken over my life. The marriage, you may feel the marriage is dead. The relationship is dead. The friendships. I need people. Zoom isn't good enough. The friendships are dead. The finances are dead. The 401k is dead. The retirement plans are dead. The business ventures. My job is dead. Or it's a dead-end job going nowhere. Maybe your travel plans, they're dead. Here's what we need to understand. God sits enthroned on top of that rock. He sits enthroned on that, and he sat down and he said, it's finished. And so you have resurrection power that Hope feels what faith pulls in. And so what you feel, he feels, and Jesus cares about what you're feeling about. But when you get what he feels about it and you pull his reality into it and you take the invitation to come in and see, bam, resurrection power right there for you and for me. It's an invitation to step into the now. Why do I say that? Because what was valid back then is valid right now, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Point number two, he appeared in different forms. And the Bible says that their eyes did not recognize him or the way he came to them. In John 21, it says, after these things, meaning after the events that I just read to you, Jesus appears yet again to the disciples. And it says, he manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. If you go back and read in John chapter 21, Peter doesn't recognize who's on shore cooking breakfast for him and his friends. Had no idea. But here's what was cool. If you read the story, Jesus repeats a miracle that he did in Luke 5 by giving them a massive haul of fish. And it was the familiar encounter of the presence of Jesus releasing that over them. He recognized divine presence in the moment that it hit him, and he was able to pull that in. And he recognized, even though his appearance looked different, there was something different about it. He recognized the familiarity of that presence in that moment, right now. And options changed right now. As he did with me in Luke 5, he's with me right now. Somebody say, valid then, valid now. Valid then, valid now. See, Mary thought Jesus was the gardener. How many of us have missed moves of God because we didn't think God would move that way? We didn't think God would look that way. Well, God only is gonna move like he moved at Azusa Street in 1906. God can't move that way. Well, I have news for you. Jesus will take many forms to minister a personal relationship in a personal way to his kids. He is the most creative being in the universe. And some of the very places that you don't think he's moving, ladies and gentlemen, he's on the move. And his resurrection power can come in unlikely places, even an empty grave. The Bible says to those men who walked on Emmaus, they didn't recognize him. But the Bible says our hearts were burning when we were around him. Have you ever been around people? You don't have a clue what the pastor's saying. You don't have a clue what other people are saying about God. I mean, it sounds like Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. It sounds like that. But all of a sudden you listen to that wah, 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 and you're like, oh my gosh, that's God. This is how God deals with this. And sometimes we recognize things, him speaking to us, his voice, and it may come in like that, but there's something that burns inside it that says, that's God, and I'm gonna go there. And maybe some of you right now are going, I don't have a clue. This is the first time I've ever been online at Elevation Church. I have no idea what this pastor's saying. I just wanna look right into the camera, and I wanna give you an invitation and say this. It is not about your performance and how good you are. It's not. It's about how good Jesus is and the invitation to get to know him. The areas where you're in the dark, welcome to the club. We've all got areas that we're in the dark, and he's constantly revealing the natures and levels of his goodness, that if you will say yes to that, all the other stuff falls by the wayside. The problems are still there, but your focus and your approach to it is completely revolutionized, and you begin to hear him clearer. See, Mary recognized, she recognized the voice. She didn't see the form, but she recognized the voice. This is what the Bible helps us to do, is it helps us to see and hear the voice of Jesus through that lens, and it keeps us adaptable. We learn that not everything that looks spiritual is of God, which is true. But when you know the master's voice, everything else comes into focus through the written word and encounters with Jesus, who the Bible says is the living word. When we read the Bible because it points to him. It's not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that personal, deep, intimate relationship that these disciples had. And what was valid for them then is valid for you and I now. We need to see that he's no respecter of persons. And because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what was good then is good now. They got a revelation of his voice. See, the words of Jesus in John 6, Jesus talked, completely confused his friends and his disciples. You can read the story on your own this week. In John 6, he's saying stuff like, you're gonna have to eat my flesh and drink my blood in order to have all this stuff happen. And they're like, what? You want us to be cannibals? They had no clue. Had no clue. It was super offensive to them. Super offensive. It's not what he was meaning. He was meaning of the communion that we're going to take at the end of the service. He was meaning that we have to partake of him who's the bread of life, and that his blood shed for us would cleanse us from all sin. That's what he meant. But in the moment, they didn't get it. They had no idea. What they said to him was, though, we don't have a clue, but all we know is that when we're around you, we come alive. And Jesus said, my words to you are spirit and their life. I think right now, I want to take a pause. Right now, there may be somebody at home. I just want you to take a moment. I'm going to look into this camera right here. Let's take a second and ask yourself this question. Where is my heart exploding right now? Where is it burning? Where is it burning? Where is that invitation to go out and explore? Like maybe God's been speaking to you about something that seems like nonsense, but your heart's burning. You can recognize the presence and the spirit on the word. See, Jesus said in John 6, my words are spirit and they're life. Translation, when we capture his voice, God speaks from heaven into our spirit. And in Christ, we're one with his spirit. So it comes up through our spirit, bubbles up, and comes out. And when we begin to declare the intentions of God, there is life on that word. And even if the hearer doesn't understand the word completely, by you and I releasing that rhema word, that now word, that life-giving word, right then, it changes the options of the hearer, even if they don't understand it right now. This is a declaration. What is it God is saying to you? Where is his voice saying to you? And how is he coming in a form that is beginning to take shape that you can see? He's asking you to do something right now. Write that down. Begin to explore that. Take that pause. My third point is this. It says in Mark 16, it says that she, meaning Mary, in the post-resurrection accounts, it says she went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. It says on the walk to Emmaus, the two men, the other disciples we refer to, they began to relate their experiences and how he was recognized by them. It says in Mark 16, it says they went and reported it to others. This is an opportunity in the hour we live in to begin to shape history by the word of the testimony. Revelation 12 talks about the saints, meaning you and I, overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We need to go public. I'm gonna look in this camera over here. I'm summoning you. If we can go public about our opinions about viruses, about how leaders are doing this or that or not doing this, if we spend more time giving our opinion about public matters and never feel the need to share about how Christ has rocked our world, Houston, we have a problem. I feel like God is summoning Christians, church leaders, pastors, you and I, every witness to Christ. We need boldness to proclaim the good news on every sphere of influence. So you say, well, I'm just not real bold. Well, in Acts 4, they weren't real bold either, and it says they were bold. Boldness comes from him. Boldness says, I'm going to be a part of a larger story that is going to affect the course of human history. And I'm going to get on my Facebook post and I'm going to brag about what Jesus is doing. I'm going to brag on the goodness of God, what Jesus is doing in my friends. I'm going to talk about the things that God is doing in the world. I'm not going to talk about what's not happening in the world. I'm going to emphasize the focus that Jesus and his resurrection power is greater than an empty grave. Let's stop testifying of death and decay on a proverbial basis. I'm not saying we never, ever emphasize a problem. There's a place to do that. What I am saying is the good news that was spread back then, ladies and gentlemen, they didn't have internet. The good news that was spread back then went viral. And it went viral because they began to get pregnant with the realities of their encounters with him, and they began to release that into the atmosphere. And one after another, heck, they were in house churches. There was quarantine. They spread the good news, and it spread like a virus, and it changed the world. See, what was valid then is valid now. Our testimonies matter. The Bible says when we share our faith and our experience and our hope, something happens. It changes the options. Testimony means to do it again. Where is God rocking you? Where is the joy? Let me give you permission. You have permission to testify to the goodness of God through a Facebook post of your family enjoying life. Do you know that's sharing good news? Me acting goofy with my kids, whether it's public or private, that's sharing good news. That's being the authentic you in Christ. But it's equally valid to say, I prayed with a brother yesterday on FaceTime, and I prayed for him, and the presence of God crashed in on that FaceTime call in quarantine, and God rocked his world, and he rocked mine. They're both equally valid. And if I can say something about politics or conspiracy theories, there's a few of those going around. I can take time to talk about God blessing people and the firefighters and the nurses and the nurse practitioners and the doctors and government officials who are laying it on the line. I can start doing that and testifying and sharing about the goodness of God. What was valid back then is valid right now because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to bomb the airwaves with the testimony of the goodness of God rocking your world. And if you think that he can't rock your world and he hasn't rocked your world, look at the cross and start there. He rocked our world because he dealt with sin. What are you gonna do with the good news you hear right now? Last point, I'm thinking about closing. It's Easter. You're not going anywhere. Amen. Amen. Last point. Here's what I want to say. It's on us to declare the goodness of God. It is on us. God is not going to do it all. He's chosen us to co-labor. God has chosen us. Look, we're setting up processes here to spread the good news. We're working, our team, I'm so proud of them, they're working on this digital technology stuff. In fact, a lot of the stuff you see right now is they've been working tirelessly to improve that. We're setting up, we have testimony pages for you to write in and share what God's doing. We wanna do our part to broadcast that. We want your prayer requests, we're doing that. We don't wanna focus on what we can't do in this quarantine, which is a word I'm tiring of fast. We wanna do what we can do, not partner with what we can't do. And so I really wanna encourage you that in the hour that we live in, look for what you can do and begin to declare that goodness of God. Now, when we do our part, the question I see from this text is this. Well, Pastor Ryan, what if people don't like what I say? What if they don't want to hear the goodness of God? Let me look in that camera. And I'm going to say this. This is a prophetic decree. Here it is. Here's the word. Never before in American history have we ever had the technology, the digital technology to share the goodness of God, to reach the far corners of the earth. There is no place on earth where digital talk, they're reaching places we never dreamed impossible to share the goodness of God. We can leverage that technology to share that, and we can see millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people. I believe America right now is ripe for your experience, your strength, and your hope in Jesus like never before. How do I know that? Everyone is open to the good news. Why? Because there's so much bad news. They're starving. Let's deal in hope. And by the way, if you're joining us online and you're a guest, I pretty much preached this message 52 different ways. I've never lost my hope. Since this thing hit 4 weeks ago, I've watched our team move in supernatural faith. I've watched our people move in supernatural faith. I know of stories of people praying for their neighbors, and I'm just telling you, we're not cowering to this fear. We're going to walk in boldness. We're going to take back the territory, and we're going to see the greatest harvest, not just our church. We're going to be a part of a larger church initiative throughout our region and in this country that is going to absolutely change the course of American history. That is what we're going to be known for in this hour. Coronavirus will not define this generation. Jesus and his encounters, both back then and now, that is our stamp in history. Can I get a witness from the congregation? All right, I'm closing. I am closing, no doubt. I am closing. Some of you are snickering online going, yeah, whatever, Kibby, whatever. I'm close, I promise. Last thing. It says they've refused to believe it. So Ryan, you're really challenging me to share my experience, strength, and hope in God. My encounters, like Mary and the disciples on the walk to Emmaus. You're really kind of coming at me. I know what he's done for me, and I know so many of you. Your stories are amazing. I've heard many of your stories. God has delivered you from addictions, saved marriages, physically gotten healed. We've had testimonies of cancer. I mean, I've seen all of that. Let's open our mouths and declare. You say, well, what if it sounds like, as the Bible said, it sounded like nonsense to the men and people didn't believe it? Let me end with this. It is not our job to talk people into Jesus. Let that sit. Well, I thought we're supposed to share the good news. Your job is to point them to him and what he says in his written word that reveals him. My job, your job, is to point people to Jesus. I can't fix them. I can't catch them. I can't clean them. They're his fish. You and I are his. We can't make anybody do anything. But what we can do is we can bring that message of hope and allow people. Jesus is more than capable. He is more than willing to deal with any doubting Thomas in your life. How do I know that? It says in Scripture, it says that Thomas, he was at a place where he didn't believe unless he saw it. I've got good news for someone this morning. Some of you are like doubting Thomas. You won't see it, you won't believe it until you see it. And Jesus later says to Thomas, who needed to see the nail-scarred hands, and he needed to see the physical presence of Jesus in order to believe. That often gets preached when we throw Thomas under the bus. I want to reframe the narrative and say it like this. Thomas is every bit you and I in different aspects of our life. We have had our doubts. Oh no, I'm great on praying for people for the sick and seeing people recover. Really? But how are you doing on the 401k? We all have areas of our life where we deal with our doubts. Jesus was kind and gracious to Thomas. Let's reframe the narrative, and as it was then, it can be now, and that God is bigger than your doubts. His resurrection is bigger than your unbelief. And when he reproved his disciples, he did it in pruning out of love, and he said, boys, you walk with me for 3 years. You've seen amazing things. I want you to focus on your upgrades, get power from the Holy Spirit, and transform the world around you. And that message back then is the same message right now. We're gonna receive communion, and I wanna ask the question before we do to someone online. And I want to look in the camera and ask you a question. Is the Jesus you've heard preached a person that you've heard about, or is it a person you know? So I want to do this right now. I want to invite on Easter Sunday someone online, and perhaps something or someone that you, my friends, are sharing this message of hope to someone else, that they would be able to say this, and that's simply this: yes, Jesus, it's true, all of it. You died on the cross for my sin personally. You dealt with the sin of the world at that cross. There is no distance and separation. I am completely forgiven and restored by my Father. And instead of it being a head reality that I can be talked out of, I'm going to encounter a presence of a person that will never leave me or forsake me. If that's you, I want you to stretch out your hands and say, Jesus, I receive it by faith in your name. Your finished work at the cross, what you did for me personally, I receive it by faith. And I thank you, Father, that I am now a new person, completely transformed by your Spirit. If that's you, I want you to reach out to one of our pastoral team members. You can email us, www.elevationchurchwi.com. You can email us. There's a place for prayer requests, testimonies. There's emails that you can email us and contact us. We want to know if you made that decision for Christ. We want to stand with you and put you on a Jesus journey. We want to do that. So we thank you for joining us today. As for the rest of us, this communion cup, if you need to go get your communion wafer and juice or whatever it is, I want to continue to stand on what Jesus' finished work did. His body was broken, beaten. He took many lashes. He took the most severe punishment so that we could be made whole. Jesus is the bread of life. When we say yes to him, we have access to divine healing. We have access to be free from the torment of the mind. We have freedom from all of that. We have the right to capture his vision and his dream for our life. That was paid for by him at Calvary. I want you right now in faith, if you're dealing with a physical need, you're dealing with depression during this time of quote-unquote quarantine, if you're dealing with sickness of any form, if you're dealing with fear or a spirit of fear right now with people and you're concerned for them and it's tormenting you, I want you to take this bread right now and believe by faith that Jesus sits enthroned on top of that rock. And the invitation is to come in and see the goodness of God that's going to rock your world. Let's take. And Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that dealt with sin. And the invitation for some of you right now at home is to walk by faith that you are totally forgiven. That's what the blood of Jesus did. It atoned for all the sin for all time. I talked to one person years ago while I was praying door to door for people. And they were very open to just pray us, just to pray whatever they needed to be prayed for. And I asked a saint who had known God, and I said, do you know that the blood of Jesus paid the price for your sin, past, present, and future? And they're like, what? Future? What about the sin I might commit 5 days from now? Atoned for 2,000 years ago because you are one with him and he is outside of time and space. And the Bible says that we are seated with him in heavenly realms right now while we're here and there at the same time. And if you're confused by that, come back another day and we'll explain that too. But we are literally with him together, joined with him. He's in heaven right now, but heaven is also in you right now. And that sin, your mistakes, were already paid for before you ever commit them. I think that's good news. When I shared that with that person, they broke down in tears because they couldn't believe God was that good. Amazingly, the things that sometimes bind us, that sin consciousness, when we get a revelation of how forgiven we are, that sin that we continually obsessed over goes away. Why? Because it's no longer the lead story. Jesus is. Let's drink to that. I want to thank everyone for joining us this morning. If you want to be found, he will find you. If you want us to find you, we'll find you. We offer invitation to stand in prayer with you. We offer invitation to believe for the goodness of God with you. And we also want to encourage you on Easter Sunday, find out what Jesus is doing right now. We can have a move of God that's bigger than anything we saw in the book of Acts. Why? Because the book of Acts has never stopped. You and I are advancing his kingdom. Let's go for the greatest harvest, and let's believe that COVID virus is no longer the lead story of the news in our sphere. The good news is the news that we begin to spread, and it will go viral. Let me pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for this Easter Sunday. I bless everyone on their day today. I am asking also for creative working miracles. I'm asking, Father, that right now I stand in agreement with my brothers and sisters that this virus begins to dissipate and die. I agree by faith that there's wisdom for our elected officials, our doctors, everyone out there that is working tirelessly. Father, I decree and declare with other saints across the world that we are coming into a place of astounding momentum and unity and oneness in Christ. And Father, I believe for divine solutions in the process of the struggle that will change our lives forever, innovations and creations. And everybody said, amen. I love you all. I blow a kiss to you. I know we're socially, I don't even like that anymore. We're physically distant. The churches across America may be empty, but heaven is being populated as we speak. So I'm gonna blow a kiss, mwah, just like my grandparents. Happy Easter, everybody.